This has been a big moment. This is not a normal moment here in Israel. Israel is under attack. We've been under attack, but this was unique. It's never happened in the modern history of Israel that we've been attacked directly from Iranian forces.
Is Israel ready to attack Iran's nuclear facilities? Iran's attack on Israel using drones and missiles launched directly from Iranian soil has many implications concerning the dynamics in the Middle East and Israel's relationship with its allies. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg, a podcast of the Joshua Fund, a ministry dedicated to blessing Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus. I'm Carl Muller, Executive Director of the Joshua Fund. Today, we present the implications of Iran's attack on Israel and what Israel might intend.
If there was ever a week for Israel to launch a massive air and missile strike to take out completely Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile facilities, this would be the week. Iran launched an historic, unprecedented, and very aggressive attack on Israel directly from Iranian soil. Iran has attacked us for 191 days, okay, through Hamas in Gaza, through Hezbollah in the north, or in Lebanon. But it hasn't attacked us directly from Iranian soil. Iran has also attacked us from Syrian soil. Iran has attacked us through its proxy, the Houthis, in Yemen, missiles coming 1,800 kilometers into our southernmost city of Eilat. But Iran, never in the 76, almost 76-year history of modern Israel, Iran has never, ever launched a direct missile drone attack against the state of Israel from Iranian soil. More than 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and killer suicide drones, drones armed with munitions designed to kill and destroy. So this was a big development. Now, why did Iran do it? Well, Iran's been attacking us, as I say, through its proxies for 191 days. And of course, Iran has been attacking Israel for years. But what was different was the Iranian regime was saying, we are retaliating because they claim, Israel hasn't admitted it, but Iran is claiming that Israel killed a top Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps commander, Mohammad Reza Zahedi, in Damascus. Okay, now, Zahedi was the top Iranian commander over Lebanon and Syria. He's the one that was bringing arms from Iran into Syria and Lebanon to do what? To attack Israel. Okay, so did Israel take out Zahedi recently in a genius daytime brazen airstrike in Damascus? Maybe. Somebody did. Somebody definitely did that. Killed Zahedi and his inner circle, a few of his aides. Iran blames Israel, and that may be true. I just don't know, and Israel isn't confirming or denying it. And so Iran decided to attack. It signaled its attack for several days in advance, and then it launched more than 300 missiles and drones. What was extraordinary for me, I will tell you, after traveling in and out of this country, I first came here 37 years ago. And I've lived here in Israel as a citizen, a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, for almost 10 years. I've never seen missiles coming from the east. Okay, when rockets are coming from Gaza, they're coming from the west at Jerusalem. Okay, and so just the way our apartment is situated, we're looking east towards Jordan and the Jordan River Valley. So even when rockets are coming and the sirens are going off, as they did 8 times on October 7th and many other times, we don't see them coming. We hear the sirens, we take shelter in our bomb shelter in our apartment, and then we hear the boom, boom, boom of the concussion of the Iron Dome taking out those rockets. This time we actually saw the missiles. We saw the drones coming over Jordan at Jerusalem and points south and central in Israel. And that was surreal. It was surreal. In fact, there were 3 interceptions near our apartment before the sirens even went off. We knew it was coming. I was writing for All Israel News and keeping people updated, and we were tracking all the local and international coverage, and then boom, we're like, what was that? It was strange to hear an explosion so near our home when there wasn't any sirens. And then moments later, boom, like shaking the apartment. And again, no sirens. You think, well, this has to be it. It was just about the time around 2 a.m. when, you know, intelligence said that these drones and missiles would be arriving into Israel. But we also were hearing that they were being intercepted on their way in, so we weren't even sure if we were going to see any, much less hear interceptions. Then another boom, the third, and then the sirens went off. I don't know why, but I'm just saying that's what happened. And then, you know, my wife and one of our sons, who's working with our humanitarian relief division for the Joshua Fund, they headed for the bomb shelter. I headed outside to record. What I saw was this streak of 12 to 15 drones coming into Jerusalem. It was a surreal thing. And then I started watching interceptions. This has been a big moment. This is not a normal moment here in Israel. Israel is under attack. We've been under attack. But this was unique. It's never happened in the modern history of Israel that we've been attacked directly from Iranian soil. So we get back to now, what does Israel do? Okay, and that's what I started this YouTube exclusive with the question, if there was ever a time that you would expect Israel to launch a massive attack to just take out Iran's nuclear facilities and its ballistic missile facilities, and maybe the defense ministry, maybe a few of the Ayatollah's homes and offices as well, maybe, wouldn't this be the week? Well, that could happen, but as of this moment, what's happening? The New York Times is reporting that President Biden, in his middle-of-the-night call with Prime Minister Netanyahu, told Netanyahu, don't now retaliate. The United States, Israel, Britain, the French, the Saudis, and the Jordanians took out about 99% of the 300-plus ballistic missiles and drones. Because the defensive strategy, a multinational air defense strategy that was that successful, and no Israelis have died, very little structural damage from the rockets and missiles that got through, Biden is basically saying, why would you then escalate by attacking Iran? Now, it's being reported, I can't confirm it, but it's being reported in the Israeli and in international media that Netanyahu and the war cabinet were ready to launch an attack. Israel's a government that realizes and is focused on the fact that Iran is responsible for October 7th. Iran is responsible for every attack that's come in since. But the Iranian regime is doing it through its proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. But this, because it was a first-time direct attack from Iranian soil, the Israeli government, the war cabinet, was making the decision, let's go, let's hit the belly of the beast. Let's take off the head of the snake. Let's show the Iranian regime, this is unacceptable to fire 300 missiles and cruise missiles and ballistic missiles and killer drones, suicide drones at us. Biden said, don't do it. Now, that's the second time he'd said don't in about a 48-hour period. The U.S. had intelligence that Iran was going to do this strike, and Biden said very publicly to the Iranian regime, don't launch this attack. Iran didn't listen. So now Israel takes the attack, and then Biden says, don't fight back. This is the Biden who, on the one hand, did marshal international efforts to help Israel shoot down all those rockets and missiles and drones. So that's a good thing on Biden's side. This is the Biden who is rearming Israel, resupplying Israel with weapons and ammunition in our very intense fight with Hamas in the south and Hezbollah in the north. This is the Biden who came into Israel just days after October 7th to show solidarity with Israel. This is the Biden who has defended Israel at the UN. But this is also the Biden that is cursing and using obscenities to describe Netanyahu. And his aides are leaking stuff I cannot say on Christian television. And I'm not going to say it. Biden doesn't talk this way about enemies like Russian President Vladimir Putin. You don't hear President Biden using obscenities or leaking about, you know, the use of his obscenities in the White House about Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Why is Biden so angry and using obscenities to describe the Prime Minister of Israel, the only democratically elected leader of an ally of the United States in the entire Middle East? Biden is schizophrenic. It would, you know, I'm not saying there's a medical, I'm just saying as a political analysis, he's got two minds. Does he support Israel? Yes, but He is tying Israel's hands right now.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Our verse of the day today is found in Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our prayer requests today are: number one, pray for the people of Israel at this time, that God will protect them from all the attacks of Iran and other hostile entities with plans to attack Israel. And second, pray for the leaders of Israel, that they will have the wisdom of God to take the right decisions at this time.
Now, there is a reason why Israel should consider maybe not doing a massive attack right now to take out Iran's nuclear facility. Israel has been so isolated. Iran has been so successful over the last 6 months at dividing Israel from the United States, at turning the world's public opinion against Israel. Israel feels very much alone in the world right now, as we've been fighting so hard in Gaza and achieving real gains against Hamas, defeating Hamas. We're almost to the point where we could declare complete victory, but we're not there yet. But the world is turning against us. Is that a prophetic turn? Right? Ezekiel 38, 39 describes a period of time where the entire world is going to turn against Israel and not come to Israel's defense when Iran and Russia and others are against us. Zechariah, the book of Revelation, other places in Scripture describe a period of time when Israel is completely isolated from the world and the world turns against us, actively against us. The Battle of Armageddon, described in Revelation 16, is a battle where the armies of the entire world come against Israel during the last days, during the tribulation. Obviously, we're not there yet. But the idea that every nation in the world would turn against Israel to at least not help us in a time of danger or to actively come and attack us, it feels like we're trending in that direction. And that's a problem. Again, I'm not saying that we're at Armageddon. We're not. I can assure you we're not. There's too many other things that have to happen first. But I am saying we are definitely trending towards an international environment in which Israel is isolated and criticized and opposed. Okay? We're definitely trending in that direction. I believe it's prophetic. And yet, what happened last night, Saturday night, has given the world suddenly a new sympathy, briefly maybe, in which people say, well, Iran attacked Israel, and thank God Israel was able to defend itself. And look, the United States helped, the Brits helped, the French helped, the Jordanians, who are not pro-Israel, helped, the Saudis helped shoot down those missiles and drones. So maybe Israel shouldn't escalate right now. Maybe we shouldn't use that time to attack and destroy Iran's nuclear facilities and ballistic missile facilities, because maybe we have an opportunity, a reset, as it were, in which we can work with the United States and our European allies and our Sunni Arab allies. So I see that, but I also see the need to take out Iran's nuclear facilities before it's too late. And I think Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and former Israeli Defense Minister, currently a minister without portfolio, but the head of the opposition, Benny Gantz, who's part of this three-member war cabinet making the top major decisions in this wartime. It's a unity government. It's an emergency unity government. These are people, Netanyahu and Gantz, are against each other. If there was an election right now, Gantz would win. Bibi would be out. But they're working together in unity, even though they don't like each other, and they disagree with each other on a lot. But they're working together for the good of the country to win this war. And they've got a lot on their plate to think through. And I don't know how it's going to play out. And I can't tell you how I think it should play out. If it were me, my instinct is this is the moment to take out the Iran nuclear and ballistic missile facilities. That's my instinct. But I know the cost that that could incur. I know that Hezbollah has 150,000 missiles aimed at us. And if they unleash even 50,000 of those, it'd be the worst attack and the worst devastation in Israel. It would overwhelm our missile defense systems, and it would cause enormous suffering here in Israel. But those missiles are coming at some point anyway, aren't they? So this is why we have to pray. As Christians, we've got to pray that the Lord gives wisdom and discernment to Israeli leaders, to American leaders for sure, to the leaders of other countries in the region, but especially for Israeli leaders. And I would ask you to be praying more than ever, yes, for the peace of Jerusalem, yes, for the rescue and the liberation of all the 134 hostages that still remain in Gaza more than 191 days into this fight. We need to pray Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord would set these captives free. These are urgent issues. And I just want to help you understand that, you know, in a simple equation, you could say, well, Iran launches 300 missiles, let's strike back. And there is real cause for that. But the Israeli leadership is trying to figure out what are its immediate priorities. Getting those hostages out is a huge priority. Winning in Gaza is a huge priority. And winning in Gaza would require Biden and the Europeans and the Arabs to say, all right, you know, you're not horrible people. Let's work with you to help get this thing finished. Right? So this is an opportunity. But right now, Biden, what his aides told the New York Times, that he was telling Netanyahu, don't strike, just like he's telling Netanyahu, don't invade Rafah, the southernmost part, the city in Gaza where the remaining Hamas divisions are. That very much looks like Biden is tying the hands of an ally. I don't like it. I think it's despicable, actually reprehensible, that an American president is saying those things in public, to tie the hands of an ally, a democratic ally, that is under attack. But Israel can't just blow off President Biden. They can't just wait in case maybe President Trump comes in. Israel has to make decisions right now, and they're painful decisions. So please pray. Please pray. This is Joel Rosenberg in Jerusalem.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode about Iran's attack on Israel and the implications of that attack on Israel and the world. If you found this podcast very valuable, please get in touch with us. Let us know who you are. Are you someone who's searching for Jesus? Here's where you can find him. Do you want to talk about something else on this show? Do you have a question you want Joel to answer? Send any comments or questions you may have to podcast@joshuafund.net. Your feedback is incredibly valuable as we develop this podcast. And as always, you can check out our show notes for anything you heard on the podcast that you'd like more information on. So for Joel Rosenberg and the entire Joshua Fund ministry team, I'm Carl Muller. Thanks for listening to Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared to You podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared to You is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.